Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. Good morning. We're going to be giving you a chance to win some Blackhawks tickets at 720, so do not forget that. We've also got Dr. Kevin Most coming up after the 630 news, and he will be taking your questions this morning. So if you have a question, you can always text him at 312-981-7200, or you can call us, which is even more fun, 312-981-7200. All right, we know the Bears fell woefully short yesterday against the 49ers, who, oh man, we just let them, they let them hang around, and then it all falls apart. I know Adam Hoge is probably still crying about the loss yesterday. I'm sure he is. He joins us now on WGN. Adam, good morning. Thanks for waking up early and taking some time with us today.
Morning, Brian. And while I did think the Bears would handle the 49ers pretty soundly and easily, it didn't surprise me at all that it played out the way they did. I mean, this is still a Bears team that isn't all that great. I think they've been overachieving. They've had some great coaching this season. Certainly paid off in Green Bay a week ago, but this is still not all that surprising.
Well, I mean, the only thing that surprises me is that it basically comes down to Robbie Gould missing two field goals, which we don't see very often at all. Now, granted, he bore the weight of that, but what else is he going to do? That just seems unheard of for him to cost the Bears a game like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways to look at this, and I think they're both very valid. I mean, the one is that Robbie Gould gets paid a lot of money. He's the highest-paid kicker in the NFL, and you expect him to make a 36-yard field goal every time, whether it's in the first quarter or at the end of the game. And throughout his career, he usually does and has throughout his career, and he just can't miss that. There's no question that field goal needs to be made. But really, if he makes it, the story is Robbie Gould just saved the Bears because they played horribly pretty much for four quarters. And I really think that this game was lost just as much in the first quarter as it was late in the game when you had an opportunity to jump all over a team that had five first quarter yards and no first downs. And that's what the 49ers did in the first quarter. They did absolutely nothing offensively. The Bears had a touchdown. They had another opportunity on that fake field goal return, the trick play that looked great and was executed perfectly except for one blatant hold that wasn't very necessary. And otherwise, the Bears have a big lead in the first quarter, and I think you could say that the entire game plays out differently.
You know, it's mistakes like that, Adam, and you've watched a lot of football, and those are the kinds of things that separate winning teams from teams that aren't there yet. And this game reminded me of, and I hate to look back at last season, but it reminded me of when the Dolphins came in here.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that game? And the Bears were coming off a big win in Atlanta the week before, and Miami was not supposed to be able to come into Chicago and beat the Bears with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, and they did. And it had that same feel to it, a game suddenly you're expected to win. You've got the favorites mantle for the first time this year.
Right,
and now everything changes. And I just wonder if maybe now, as you look back, if maybe somehow, and I don't want to overthink this thing, but that had some sort of effect on the way the Bears went into this game.
Well, that's something we talked about this week, was how would they handle being the favorite? How would they handle the success they had in Green Bay? And you, that's a lot of times just as big of a challenge as getting out of some big struggles, especially for a team that hasn't really been in that position yet this year. It's interesting you bring up that game against the Dolphins last year, because I was thinking about that yesterday. That's really the last time where I remember sitting in the Soldier Field press box thinking before a game, man, the Bears really should win this game easily. It really shouldn't be much of a problem. And yet the last time I thought that, and it was last year against Miami, they lost. And then they had the blow-up in the locker room
unacceptable
after the game. Which, by the way, included Robbie Gould, too.
Yeah, so. Hopefully somebody blew up at him yesterday. Adam, the defense has been making good progress throughout the season. Yesterday, though, in overtime, it comes down once again to the suspect secondary breaking down. Blown coverage, Adrian Amos and Tracy Porter either get their signals mixed, they don't know if it's going to be a cover three, is it pretty much a cover three, which is what Porter said. That's something the Bears obviously have to work on the rest of the season and the offseason, but what can they do to stop the bleeding in the secondary, you know, this year?
Well, what's interesting is, and probably hurts a lot, is the Bears gather at Hallis Hall this morning and watch the film. Is their strength in recent weeks has really been their secondary. And their identity this season on defense, to me, has been not giving up the big plays. They'll give up little chunks here and there, and but they're going to make you march down the field. They haven't really given up huge plays. They have not had too many enormous blown coverages like that, especially in key moments. That really defined the Mel Tucker era the last two seasons, but not so much this year. So I think that that's why this is really tough to swallow for that Bears defense. And basically what happened on that last play was they were in a cover three. I think what is really tough is a couple players in that locker room, including Tracy Porter, said they knew exactly what the 49ers were doing on that play. They knew, based on the formation, that they were going to take a shot deep. The problem was Adrian Amos was supposed to follow Torrey Smith deep as Tracy Porter jumped on that route on the flat, and unfortunately they both went for the flat. No one covered Smith, and that's why he was so wide open.
Yeah, it just, like you said, it's one of the defining plays of the game. We go back to Robbie Gould, the other one, but then Jay Cutler reverts back to his old self. We haven't seen it in a couple weeks. He throws the pick six early, and that gives the 49ers a chance to hang around.
Yeah, but, you know, and I'm not going to make excuses for Jay. It was a bad throw. He's probably got to know not to make that. But at the same time, the play was designed for Josh Bellamy to make a block on Jimmy Ward, the former NIU safety, the guy that picked that ball off and took it back for a touchdown. So, you know, we talk about the little things, and that was another instance where a guy who's not out there a whole lot, Josh Bellamy, Marquise Wilson, missed this game. Remember that. Doesn't make the block, although that wasn't an easy block if you go back and look at the replay. Jay's got to kind of know that's he can't just fling that ball right away, though. That was a tough play, and you take that out of it, and it's, again, you look at that play and the missed opportunities on offense early in the first quarter, I really think that this game was lost just as much early as it was late.
All right, Adam. Hey, where can people read your lovely blog?
WGNradio.com/Bears.
All right, very good.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
It is time for Dan Hampton. We cross paths every Sunday when you hear Hamp with OB and Kaz on the Hamp OB and Kaz show. That's how easy we put it. Hamp, welcome. Good morning. Have you calmed down after yesterday?
No, it's kind of hard to do when you see, an NFL football team with an awful lot to play for just self-destruct right before your eyes against a completely inferior team. But we're trying to get it together. You know, every Monday when we come on and we talk a little bit about the game, you know, I always try to find a couple of redeeming points, qualities right. of the team, things that we can talk about. But keeping in the spirit of the holiday season here, I made a list, and I checked it twice this morning when I woke up.
Anything positive?
No, it's not good. I tell you, you know, when you're an NFL kicker and you're paid millions of dollars and you miss two chip shot field goals, that's not going to get you any brownie points with Santa. You go on down the list, John Fox, the new head coach. Here, you know, and Dave, I heard you right there before I came on. Mm-hmm. You know, that game in Green Bay, the signature win of this new group in control up at Hallis Hall, to back up that win with that pathetic effort yesterday, you got to lay that right on the desk of John Fox. You know, Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator, all season long, you know, I've been perplexed with so many bubble screens. And normally the bubble screen, it's a very effective play. It's almost an extension of the running game in a sense. You get the wide receivers a safe, easy delivery. And, you know, if they've got some ability to make people miss, you can you know, utilize that. But we've went to it way too much. And we don't really have the type of little jitterbug receivers that would be dynamic at it, and the more we go to it, it's almost like we're setting ourselves up. Well, it blew up in our face yesterday, and once, you know, we threw the pick six, it was almost like the entire offense just unplugged and disconnected. And not only that, but Vic Fangio had quietly gotten a little respect back for this Bears defense. Well, most of that is all evaporated now because two guys off the scrap heap, especially Blaine Gabbert. Think about this. Blaine Gabbert was summarily run out of Jacksonville. But he came in and battled and was really the player of the game, especially late in the game, throwing the touchdown and running 44 yards for another. And so there's a lot of reasons to say, hey, all that good stuff that we were trying to you know, pack up in the sleigh, well, it's all been kind of gutted now.
Hamp, when you, as a defensive player, when you have a breakdown in communication like the one between Amos and Porter that leads, the blown coverage leads to that overtime touchdown, how does that happen? Where does that come from, the breakdown?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the defense, they don't play cover three much, which you can say, well, it's a defense that you want to try and use as, it's not quite prevent defense, but it's more of a, you've got a lead and you want to be able to be playing relatively safe. And we haven't played it much. And somehow, some way, there's got to be communication between the corner and the safety. And Adrian Amos, who is, you know, he's a rookie, but he's really been a tremendous player for us this year, and I applaud all he's done. Apparently, there was a breakdown, and Tracy Porter and Amos did not realize who was going to take that receiver. Somebody's got to take that receiver. It's not a true zone. Brzezinski is over the top in the middle as basically a center fielder. But you, when somebody threatens your area and they take that inside release, somebody's got to go with him. Nobody did. That was a breakdown that cost us a touchdown.
All right, Hamp, it looks like the playoff picture is pretty much done for the Bears. We can accept that at this point. But when you go, when you're moving forward after a game like yesterday where all three phases broke down, as you said, what do you do in the coming weeks to, quote-unquote, play for pride, especially when you've got Washington coming in who has an abysmal road record? What do you do going forward?
All you can do is play to, you know, you always play to win. And the byproduct of that winning effort, if you give it, is you secure your position, your job, okay? And when there is no team goal, like the playoffs or winning the division or anything like that, then I don't want to say you have to be selfish, but you got to say, hey, I got to prove who I am, what I mean, and as far as my value to this football team. And as you look at the next 4 weeks, you know, we've got the Redskins, we've got, who is it, Detroit, Tampa Bay. I mean, Detroit, there's, you know, this is, it's, excuse me, Minnesota is the fourth game. This is a stretch where this team can really kind of identify who they are. But make no mistake, when you lose a game like yesterday at home to an inferior opponent, and you refuse to engage and assert yourself and put the opponent away when you had so many opportunities, you have identified who you are. You're a bad football team. And as much as, you know, we want to say, well, we had this, we had that, you know, a little means a lot. Those missed field goals, those inabilities of the offense to convert on third and two, third and three, those first two drives where we had to settle for field goals. All that stuff adds up. And what does it add up to? It adds up to being 5-7. You are what your record says you are. And how will they prepare against Washington? You know, right now, you know, I don't know. I was on some teams that were basically put out of our misery in December. It's no fun. There's nothing about it that, you know, is redeeming. Everybody goes, well, you can build for the future. Well, yeah, all that should have been talked about and brought up before you go out there and do what you did yesterday against the San Francisco 49ers, the worst team in the NFC. So, I like I said, you know, I'm sure that somehow, some way, they're going to try to roll it up in a ball and say, hey, we're ready to go and we're going to play hard. And you know what? The Redskins have been abysmal on the road this year. There's a real good chance the Bears win. I'm just saying I'm still bitter about the fact that this team did not want to engage and seize control of their destiny when it mattered. Now, at 5-7, as you said, it really doesn't matter.
You know, and if Washington wins tonight against Dallas and they're playing at home, at the moment, they're alone atop the NFC East. Speaking of abysmal, I mean, that everybody in that division is under 500. But they, if they win tonight, they have a chance to come in here and open up some breathing room in their division. I know they're 0-5 on the road, but the Bears are 1-5 at home. And as good as they have been, I mean, it just seems like, I mean, they had a huge road victory 11 days ago, but they haven't been able to win at Soldier Field. Washington probably looks at what happened yesterday and thinks, well, why can't we go in there? Miami came in here last year and won. San Francisco came in here yesterday and won, and they got to take encouragement from it, I would think.
Hamp, do me a favor. Hold that thought. We'll get back to you. We got to go to traffic. No, it's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm not a good traffic cop. Hang on, Hamp. More with Hamp, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll get more with Hamp, and he can answer Dave's very intriguing question about Washington and what it holds for the Bears. But first, we... A little tardy, but we'll get there in time. Go to Traffic Central. Laura Vaughn has the traffic trouble spots.
They presented some problems. I think we made some mistakes offensively that contributed to some of that stuff. It takes a lot of guys to make it work.
It's got quick on both of them and rushed them and hurried them. And, they both probably... The worst kicks I've had all year.
Dabbert under center in a tie game in overtime. Play fake deep. Looking for the deep shot. Going for Torrey. He's got him out there. Smith's got it. 20-10. 49ers are going home.
Fantastic. We needed to hear that again.
Wish they had gone home.
Just before overtime they could have gone home. Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, joins us on 720 WGN. Hamp is sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Hamp, before we went to traffic, Dave had talked about Washington coming in here despite their horrible road record. They could they are on top of the NFC East.
Well, right? and really the point of it is, again, and Hamp, we talked about this a little bit on Friday, The Bears playing as favorites for the first time. We talked about this last hour with Adam a little bit. I mean, it just seemed like when they're expected to win, they still haven't quite figured out that part of the equation, that the just being favored isn't good enough. You have to kind of play to that role.
There's no question that the way the Bears played yesterday, again, it identifies who they are. And all year long, Cochran, everyone, we're looking for, little glimpses of the future, what this team could become, because it's a work in progress. We all know that the cupboard was left pretty bare. But they do have kind of a superstructure of some decent players. But do you think for one second now, and, the Redskins are getting ready to play the Cowboys tonight. They're not even thinking about the Bears. But once they start looking at film tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, that they're going to be a little bit reluctant or scared to come in here and play? As you said, the Bears are 1-5 at home. We all know you got to take care of business at home, and that was a game yesterday. The only game we have won at home was the last second come from behind kick, a field goal to win the game at the buzzer against the Oakland Raiders, and we know what kind of team they are. So what have you done? as I said earlier, your record is who you are, not what you think you are, whether you're favored, whether you're an 11-time underdog going into your only game of the year where you are favored. But the bottom line is, who are you? And you know what? I got to tell you, again, the offense refused to engage yesterday. And you go back, how can you show up and play in such a malaise as this football team did after winning the biggest game of the year on the road, Thanksgiving night, in Green Bay, beating Aaron Rodgers, was standing that, first and goal at the 8. And I just start shaking my head, but I do know this, that this team is a long way from being respectable if they keep running out certain players. And one of them is Shea McClellan. During the course of the game, Obradovich will call me and say, are you watching this? And I'm watching. And I just have a hard time understanding how and why they're doing, this week after week after week. But, you know, more importantly, when you let a quarterback like Blaine Gabbert actually made a series of the plays of the game down the stretch on that final drive. And, you know, you can say, well, our offense, you know, we should have scored more. And, yeah, but as a defense, you have a certain obligation to protect the lead in the fourth quarter. We've been semi-good at that over the last month or so. But you know what? When Blaine Gabbert came out and scrambled for a first down, and then we know him, you know, the play of the game was the 44-yard scramble right up the middle where we had no safety, no linebacker, no one come up with a sense of urgency and get him on the ground. You know, I know Adrian Amos said, well, I thought he was going to slide. Well, you can't think. Hey, it's fourth quarter. It's NFL. You play football. You go get the quarterback, get him on the ground. So, you know, at every turn, like I said, this team has had a chance to separate themselves and kind of create an identity. And at every turn, like you said, they refuse to engage. And it's really quite perplexing.
All right, Hamp. Well, listen, we'll be listening next Sunday after the Washington game with you and OB and Kaz. Always entertaining and always informative. Thanks for the time this morning.
All right, somehow, some way, we got to go Bears.
Go Bears. There you go. Listen, I like that he kept it optimistic even at the end. Go Bears. You throw the Go Bears in.
Yeah, but it was sort of
it was very half-hearted.
It was half-hearted.
I'm going to go quarter-hearted. It was not even half-hearted.
Yeah, but you can say that because he's not in the room with us.
Listen, I see these guys every Sunday because show follows theirs, right. And whoo, there's a lot of anger and testosterone floating around.
There was angst,
angst and sadness, and pizza. That's the only good. Yeah. That's the only redeeming thing. Even with the loss, there's still pizza.